afternoon, and welcome to The Good, the Bad, and Reality. We're brought to you by the D'Unity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting. I'm Roger Vaughn, and I'm joined by my co-host, Stacy.
Hello.
And Stacy, how are you today?
I'm good. Did you get through this foggy weather today?
Oh, yes. It was much clearer by the time we got here, so it was a good thing. It was a good thing. So each week, we talk about what makes business ownership so rewarding as it relates to challenges of running a small business and ultimately why you choose to do what you do. And as you know, we've just started a new fiscal year. So what's your thoughts on how this new fiscal year is going to go?
Well, it's day three. And what this week of weather was cloudy, kind of sunny, now foggy. So I hope that doesn't mean what the fiscal year is going to be like.
I hope not either. Well, today we have three guests in our audience today that will shed some light on why things aren't going to be as cloudy, especially for their businesses. So who do we have here?
Well, yeah, we have some great guests today. I want to welcome to our show Corey Moore. We call him the tax guy from FFGA. And then I have Jason Bass with Bass Business Plans and Business Coaching. And then Lisa Douglas with the National Association for Female Executive Association. And they are all here to share great information about their business and what they're doing. And we're going to start with you, Lisa. Tell us a little bit about the National Association for Female Executives and how the chapter got established here in Atlanta.
We're actually the local chapter for the National Association. So we're basically in charge of getting information out to the 28 counties that make up the Metro Atlanta area. Mm-hmm. We hold monthly meetings. It's usually the fourth Tuesday of every month, actually in Sandy Springs, so not that far from here. And we do quarterly social events, which are basically more strictly networking events. And we have our first annual conference coming up next week.
Awesome. And so who should join your group?
We are open to all professional women, whether they're business owners or whether they're actually just, you know, pursuing their career. The National Association was first established actually for career women. And as, you know, the country and economics and everything has evolved, we've all actually added on to business owners, including them into the process. And basically, we're just there to help women progress, whether they're trying to grow their business, establish a business, or move up the career ladder.
Awesome. So what things have, you were talking about this networking event you're having next Wednesday, right?
Yes. It's the Women of Excellence Business Conference. It's the Atlanta chapter's first business conference. It's actually open to all professional women throughout the southern states. So it's all 12 states that make up the South. It is Wednesday, October 10th from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is a completely full day of workshops. We have over 10 workshops to choose from, two featured speakers, there's lunch, there's an exhibit hall. Oh, geez. I mean, we have some phenomenal speakers coming up. We're really excited about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to be able to attend with some of our Alliance partners. So give us one of your realities you've learned as a chapter president this last year that you've seen.
Atlanta is a strange city. I will admit, I'm from New York originally, from New York City, and we're different a little bit. Yeah, you know, if there's something going on and we want to go, we're buying tickets as early as possible, get them as cheap as possible, and it's on our calendars, and that could be almost a year out, and we know we're going to this thing. I found in Atlanta is a little different. They tend to wait to the last minute to want to commit to coming to an event. You know, they'll say they're coming, but the actual commitment to go seems to happen, you know, within the last 2 weeks of something coming up, which is something completely new for me to deal with.
Right. And, you know. I think the new economic situation has kind of changed that a little bit more, too.
Yes, I think I cannot say that the economy has not played a role in most of our events that we do, even the regular monthly meetings. And there's also a lot of activity here in Atlanta where you can go. So it's a matter of promoting ourselves as an organization and all the events that we do in such a way that people say, okay, that's the one to go to.
Well, Lisa, I know at some point through most everyone's careers, they've worked in corporate America at one point, but I would like to ask you a question as to what was your aha moment or what was the turning point for you to get started in this business?
Actually, I have another business, and I think that's what started me onto this track as well. 2006, I was freelancing with a really big PR agency, and I realized I wasn't working. There was an account that came up, and I couldn't get on the account. It wasn't part of my team's account, and I couldn't get on it, even though I know my background was perfect for it. And I realized, well, this is a little ridiculous. I should be able to work on what I want to work on, you know, instead of just you where somebody's telling me this is where you need to, the project you need to work on. This is the client you need to work with. So I started a PR agency called Inclusion PR. And over the last 4 years of running it, the first year I don't really count too much. I was trying to figure out what it was, you know, so I don't count the first year. But I noticed that I couldn't find the information I needed to grow. After I got out of startup mode, all of a sudden I was stuck. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not really doing the hustle thing anymore. I need to figure out how to take it to another level. Mm-hmm. And everywhere I went was just giving me startup information. It was always giving me information that I already, you know, I learned it, figured it out, could figure it out on my own, whatever. And I was looking for that next level teacher, somebody or some class or something wherein, you know, I could learn about operations. Because up until point, no startup does operations. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah, you're right. You know,
it's when you hit year 3, year 4, and year 5, now you're like, oh, I could hire people. Mm-hmm. Oh, that means a whole new kit and caboodle of challenges you don't know anything about. And that's where my frustration came. So that's why we started NAFI Atlanta here, was to have those kinds of workshops, to have those kinds of informational meetings where it's for more seasoned business owners. Now we're ready to, you know, launch, go someplace else, grow it. We've gotten out of startup mode. We're no longer doing that hustle.
That's great. So, Lisa, how do we get a hold of you? Website, phone number?
We can be on our website, which we just actually revamped, so I'm really excited about that. It's nafeatlanta.com, and that's nafeatlanta.com. Or they could email us directly at contactus@nafeatlanta for more information. And also, the conference registration is also on the website. They can do that there as well.
And how long do they have until register for the conference?
We're trying to get all the confirmations in by Friday, this Friday. Mm-hmm. We probably will be selling tickets at the door on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. So we probably will, you know, just come in that day of. But we would like everybody to kind of get in advance. It's also the cheaper rate in advance.
Of course.
I just have one question. If a man wanted to attend, can they?
Yes, they can. And we actually do have several men already registered to come to the conference.
Outstanding. I
mean, yeah, if you have a small business that's catering to women or other women or other business owners, this is a great opportunity to come, even if you are a guy.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you no. You'll be in a room full of women.
Outstanding. That's even better.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Lisa. So why don't you hang out with us as I introduce some other of our guests here. So Mr. Corey Moore with FSGA. Who I know is the tax guy. Tell people who you are and what your business and all that wonderful stuff.
Well, I want to say hello. Corey Moore, Fortune Financial Group, or FFG Tax Service. Most people know me as Corey the Tax Guy. They get my emails every week saying Corey Tax Guy. But that is us. We are a full-service financial firm, but with that, we primarily specialize in tax advisement and tax preparation.
So, Corey, the focus on being tax and financial and with the economic funkiness, as we call it mm-hmm. these days, how do you best advise that small business who are kind of getting, like what Lisa was talking about, that next hump? Right. Do you have a stage that stages that they go through or a process? What's some things that you do?
Well, pretty much kind of what Lisa was saying is that once most business owners get started, they say, you know, let me get this product out here however I can and try to get as much money in as I can and then try to figure out things later on. Once somebody actually starts understanding their income coming in and their expenses going out, at the end of the day, they still have to pay taxes on it.
Yeah.
The number one way to increase your revenue or your bottom line is by paying less in taxes. So with that, we try to sit down with a business owner, especially a new business owner or established, but definitely a new business owner, and help build that foundation for them so that they understand, as you're going out and making money, if you don't want to pay taxes on monies that you don't have to pay taxes on, then you need to definitely understand how the tax rules are. Because for those people who don't understand how taxes work, they're paying more in taxes.
Right. Yeah, Roger and I advise businesses, and we always tell them that you better have a good CPA or financial advisor, good attorney, and good funding source, and funding source not necessarily being bank, but it, I think that's always of great importance. Even those ones who are kind of sole proprietors, kind of in that cusp of not sure if they want to start a business aspect.
Right.
One thing that, you know, you and I have networked our businesses for quite a while. One of the things that we have noticed that you've diversified your business a little bit, and you want to talk a little bit about what you've done?
Yeah. So probably about 6 or 7 years ago, I got a phone call from somebody saying, hey, did you go to that networking event last night? And I was like, what networking event? They were like, oh, you missed it. Oh, man, leads were just falling out the sky. Oh, it was great. Everybody wanted to buy everything, and you missed it. And I was thinking, wow, you know, I just started my business. I'm out here networking, and it's so difficult to try to find out where to be. So I said, you know, for the people who I'm networking with, I'm going to make sure that if I hear about an event, I'm going to let them know about it. So what I started doing was sending out emails, just letting people know, hey, I'm going to be at these events this week, just FYI. It started to grow. As I started meeting more people, as I started meeting more organizers of events, it just started to grow. So what ended up happening, now we got to the point to where we actually have a name for it, which is called Pro Networker. It's a weekly email list that goes out letting people know about different networking events that are actually happening around Atlanta. I believe Lisa's event is on there.
Yes,
I think it is.
Yeah. It was just I just saw the email the other day.
So anytime that there is a business event, whether it's a networking event, a workshop, an expo, seminar, lunch and learn, even business fundraisers. Got to make sure I say business because there's fundraisers everywhere. We post it on our list for free. We also do something which is a little bit different, which is also put on events. So for us, we want to make sure that we're creating environments and atmospheres that are very, very conducive to networking. I love the financial world. I love being able to help people when it deals with their finances. My other passion is connecting people. And that's where, you know, we come in together because we just love connecting people together with other individuals. And that's what helps business. The easiest way that I figured that I can actually connect people is to bring all the people that I know and bring them all into one place. So that's why we then started having networking events ourselves. So
when's the next one?
The next one is actually coming up October 15th. The new series that we're doing, we've done a couple series on the Pro Networker. Mm-hmm. Probably the largest one we did was the Business Breakfast with a Shark, where we brought in Damon John from Shark Tank.
Event.
Yeah, that was a really good event. But the new series that we're doing right now is called Strictly Business. I wanted to have an event to where people knew from the title what to expect.
Right.
With this is if you're into socializing, don't come to this event. Do not come to this event.
I shouldn't go there looking for my new husband.
No. If you just wanted to come get a drink, no. If you want to come just to be seen, come just to sit in the corner, no, don't come. This is strictly business. We wanted to create a situation where people came to do business.
So some B2B.
Yeah. So it's really like pro networker's goal is to introduce somebody to either a client, a colleague, someone that they collaborate with,
mm-hmm.
or a competitor.
Yeah.
Somebody who they can actually learn more about their product from and be able to possibly, you know, do other business with, you know, a competitor. With that, when it comes to strictly business, our goal is to actually facilitate that at that event. So if you have a product or a service that you're trying to get out there, you want other people to know about it, you come to this event. If you're looking for certain items, if you're every business owner needs something, whether they need a website, they need business cards, they need an accountant, they need whatever, come to this event. There's also some people who say, you know what, I have clients. I have my services taken care of, but you know what? I really want to start now connecting with other people to see if I can start doing some value added to my product or service. I was really looking to get into this industry now. I wish I can find somebody who's actually in that industry to show me how to pretty much know what the waters are. Come to this event. So for those individuals that are just really looking for something to improve on their business, this event is for them. It's typically the second Monday of each month.
Mm-hmm.
Had a little scheduling conflict with this one. So this one, the next one's on the third Monday, which is October 15th. It's in Atlantic Station, 5:30 to 9. $10 if you go online and do an advance purchase. And Lisa, I'm very much so with you. A lot of people love to wait until the last minute.
Yeah.
But that's Atlanta. Yeah. So, but like I said, definitely we at our first event we had 200 people at
that
the first
great.
Event, which was great. So my goal is to actually kind of ambitious, but my goal is to actually turn this into the largest monthly business networking event in Atlanta. My goal is to have 300 people at this event. And then in November, our goal is to have 400 people. If we can actually have 300 in two consecutive months, then we should be the largest monthly, I say, business networking event in Atlanta.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So what have you done besides diversifying and doing this networking, connecting people through these economic challenges? You know, everybody's asking what each other are doing so right. that they can understand. Because as you you and I always talk about, numbers are not sexy.
Right. And they're not. I mean they're sexy to me. I mean, I like numbers. But it's tough right now. I mean, it's definitely tough. But it's one of the things that, and I've had a workshop on it talking about, as business owners are in business for themselves, they're so used to their product. They're so used to their service. They're so used to pushing that. But really, if business owners can start looking at themselves as scientists and start saying, you know what, a scientist creates an hypothesis to figure out, okay, I think this will work this way.
Mm-hmm.
So for a business owner, if I have this product or service, I think that this person will buy it. But then when they don't buy it, now they're like, oh my God, they didn't buy it. I don't know what to do now.
Right.
Whereas a scientist would say, oh, okay, I expected them not to buy it.
Mm.
Let me now figure out what I have to do another experiment, and figure out what's going to now get them to buy it. Oh, they didn't buy it. Okay, I expected that. Let me do another experiment and try to figure out when they actually can get to it. So as a scientist, they expect to fail. They know they're going to do multiple experiments before they actually get what exactly they actually had laid out that they were supposed to do. If a business owner did the same thing, what they would actually see is that this is how business works.
Mm.
And what they would end up doing is now kind of critiquing the way that they're actually doing certain things to say, okay, if this is not working right now, let me back up and examine why, adjust, and then try something else. Do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Examine. Did it work? Yes. No. No. Examine. Readjust. Try it again. And when you keep doing that over and over and over again, you will get to your goal. You will. I mean, just will.
So are you going to write a book on that?
Actually, can we have you come in and teach that?
Yes. Yes to both.
Well,
yes
I bet
to both.
You were a fun kid growing up. I mean, you loved numbers. Wow. That's amazing. And I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Lisa. You know, how long? Well, first off, how long have you been doing this? And what got you started into this? What was your aha moment?
I've actually been, so the accounting firm, we've had that now for 8 years. Pro Networker is, we just really started doing Pro Networker seriously probably the last 2 years. I've actually been doing it kind of on the side, I guess you could say, for the last six. I've always been into numbers, my mom tells a story about how we went to the grocery store together, and you know, she, you know, got all this food and rang it up. And I looked at the bill or the receipt and I said, Mom, you know, I could save you money on this. And she was like, really? So the next month she said, hey, you go shopping and I'm gonna let you pick out everything. And then whatever the difference is, I'm gonna let you keep. And she wasn't happy when I went for all the generic stuff and coupons and all of that. But at the same time, it was still pretty much under budgeting, savings and things of that nature. So for that, I've always known that I wanted to do something that dealt with numbers. I never really understood exactly what I wanted to do until I worked in corporate America for 3 years, hated it. But then when I then got out, I then said, you know what? I really want to help people with something to where, honestly, they didn't have a choice to do. I was in a couple different sales, but I really said, you know what? I really want to get into something where I'm really not selling. I'm more so educating. And then that's where I looked at taxes. I had always done my own taxes. But then when I really started looking at taxes as a business, I really started seeing an actual gap there between the actual service, which nobody has a choice. You have to do it versus the education behind it. And what I saw was everybody does taxes, but not as many people actually educate their client on tax liabilities and the whole tax arena.
Mm.
So we've actually discovered quite a bit of growth just by based on doing simple principles, which is, hey, Joe client, we're going to, educate you on your taxes. And we've had people who, you know, we've done their taxes for the first year. It's the first time they're doing taxes. To people who's been doing their taxes 10, 15, 20 years, they said, wow, no one has taken the time to actually explain to me the 1040, which is the form that everybody files their taxes on. I didn't really understand how I got a refund, like what actually constitutes an actual refund. I don't understand why I owe. I don't understand none of this stuff. So what happens is when a person actually starts really understanding this, they now get empowered. And now taxes isn't this purple monster in the room. This taxes is now something they're like, oh, wait a minute. I actually understand how it works. Oh, okay. And when you start empowering somebody, they then start now feeling more autonomy in what it is that deals with their money. And for us, that's what we're trying to do when it comes to the economy. Now that people don't have as much money as they had before, but yet have the same amount of expenses, if not more. What's more important now is to understand your money. And now to start understanding budgeting and savings and making sure that you know where every dollar goes and having a resource that can actually give you that information. So for us, our goal is to say, hey, we are that resource. You just have to then want it.
Well, that's very profound in the fact that someone can actually find comfort in getting their taxes done, which is often an uncomfortable thing for most businesses and most people personally, for that matter.
Yeah.
So as far as your how can people find you?
When it comes to the tax business, they can go to, which is our initials for Fortune Financial Group, they can go to FFGGA, as in Georgia.com. So FFGGA.com. When it deals with the accounting, definitely feel free to give us a call there. They can reach us at our office number, 678-921-2929. If there's business owners out there that are looking to network more, what they could do is actually go to our website, which is mypronetworker.com. And on that website, you actually see a list of events, the list that we send out every week of networking events there. You can also sign up on there. There's a place where you can put your email address in. And if you do that, you will then start getting this weekly newsletter from us that has all these different events on there. So that address again is mypronetworker.com.
Thanks, Corey. And our other guest, not last, just the best, right, Jason?
Yes. I saved the best to last. Yeah. That's what they the say.
Jason, Mr. Jason Bass, also a fellow New Yorker, started Bass Business and Coaching. So, Jason, tell people about your business.
Well, I hello, everybody. My name is Jason Bass, and it's Bass Business Plans and Development. And basically what I do is help small business owners, either starting up or existing business owners, you know, pretty much either get started with a business plan and get themselves funding, or help them expand their business if they're looking into business acquisition, maybe looking to grow. So that's the essence of it. So a lot of people are trying to get started there. They don't know where to go. They don't know who to turn to. And, you know, they go to banks with their great ideas, but they have no idea how to structure their ideas in a way that's palatable for someone, you know, to fund it, you know, someone to accept it and fund it. So that's by and large what I do under Bass Business Plans and Development.
So tell people how you got into your business. How did you start it?
Wow, as a child, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. My dad was an entrepreneur ever since I was a kid, and I did, you know, just as Corey had mentioned, I think all of us pretty much here went the corporate route.
Yep.
And ultimately hated it. but you know, great experience nevertheless, and decided to get my MBA in entrepreneurship. So while I was doing my MBA, I'm from New York, just like Lisa here, and I completed my MBA, and I had a brainchild called AutoEval, which was a automotive inspection business. that I created a business plan for and ultimately won the contest. We beat out 600 other teams.
Wow.
And got seed funding as well as the grand prize or the first place prize of $10,000 and started that business. And ever since then, it's just been business after business, you know, real estate. At that time, flipping properties, which you could do back then.
I heard of that.
Yeah. Back when that was, yeah.
Yeah, that was back when, yes, a long time ago. So I did that as well as I opened the Edible Arrangements in New York City on the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Yep. There you go, right, Lisa?
I love Edible Arrangements. I get strawberries every year from my best friend.
Oh, see? Mm-hmm. Nice.
So I did that for 2 years, then sold and actually relocated to Atlanta to acquire like three or four Edible Arrangements. And once I came down and evaluated the opportunities a little closer, said, this is not going to be for me. And so really let that go. And started doing other things, but then ultimately started helping businesses turn themselves around, improve their cash flow, and help others get started. And find money.
So what have you done to diversify your business during this economic situation?
Well, one of the things that I've done, I've kind of followed in some of the footsteps of everybody here, but kind of on a video level. So we have a networking and we have organizational level, but I established I launched Biz Blogcast, which is a video, a bi-weekly video podcast that I put out there, which covers a range of different topics. And the point of the video broadcast is to have business owners, you know, pretty much learn about different facets of business, different things that they just don't know about right now, even how to navigate in the current economic environment. There's a show that we put out in July, which, now this is before hurricane season and everything, but really talking about the drought and talking about gas prices and how business owners have to reinvent themselves, maybe sell a little bit differently, create different products, and also position themselves in anticipation of what's coming by way of higher gas prices. You know, taxes, a change in presidents potentially, you know. And so that's what that particular episode was on. But every month is a new theme. And this month, for example, the theme is franchising. And they talk about that and how people can grow in that world.
Well, to your point, Jason, how critical then is it for the business plan in restructuring or the beginning of a new business?
You know, the business plan is a living document, you know, and so many people tend to think the business plan is just for the startup. And I cannot stress enough how it's for every business on an ongoing basis. And it's not just to have a coach or have somebody there, but it's for you to look at your business and see what's selling, look at your target market. Maybe you have to change some of that. But the business plan is a critical element in being your GPS, your guide to your business. And I think that that's, you know, just an aspect many business owners and even startups willfully, I will say willfully, neglect to do. And it's just amazing. I think, you know, Corey made a great point is, you know, if something is not working, you have to be kind of a scientist and you got to go back and you got to say, okay, wait a minute, I expected that to happen. And then you have to actively do it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, what I've found is that, you know, whether we like to say it or not, and I've been guilty of this myself, is that our ego get in the way. And we say, we know our business. I know my business. And you don't put anything on paper. But I could tell you, you know, just my clients, once we go through this process, they'll look at their business plan and they'll go, whoa, wait a minute, I got to make a change. And I think that's heavy.
Well, and on a business plan, that marketing number is so huge that a lot of them, that's the biggest stumbling blocks that Roger and I see in the diversification, as Corey was talking about, numbers. Numbers is always it's a good thing, bad thing situation, but if you don't know what numbers to put in there, it makes th- they puts it a, I'm not going to do any more of my business plan. And how long, you know, how big should this business plan be? You know, you hear about these one-page business plans, these, you know.
And I have never seen one. Do they really exist?
Yeah,
yeah, they do. You need a binoculars to read
exactly.
The paper. Well, you know, let me answer your first question, because you make a very valid point in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a numbers guy as well. I'm very analytical. But the key point to the business plan is that when you get to your target market, that's what's going to drive your marketing. And your marketing numbers are going to wind up driving your sales, your revenue, and your financial statements. And so, you know, every section, even though I talk about it in the terms of a plan, they're all inextricably linked to one another. You can't do one and not the other. You can't put a marketing plan together and not know what your target is or how many people there is in your target. And, you know, if we just look at our plan and forget the length of the plan, right, it certainly is not one page. I could tell you that. does it have to be 40? No.
Okay.
But 15 to maybe 25 pages is probably adequate. And, again, it depends on your business and everything else. But the point is here. If you're an existing business owner and you're in a certain section, we're in Atlanta right now. You're in a certain section where everybody have moved out or all of the homes went into foreclosure, but you sell a product or service that used to be bought by everybody in the neighborhood. Well, now, if you think that you're still going to sell your same product or service in that location, you're mistaken. Your geographic target has to change. And how many people neglect to accept this?
Mm.
I'm going to keep doing what I keep doing, and they feel like that it's going to work.
Right.
So you have to quantify your target market, and then from that you have to say, does this make sense? If I'm looking in Atlanta, maybe I shouldn't be looking in, you know, one segment. Maybe I shouldn't be looking in Buckhead anymore. Maybe I need to look in, you know, somewhere
Alpharetta.
In Alpharetta or somewhere else.
Or on the World Wide Web, you know.
On the World Wide, maybe you have to diversify.
Yeah.
So I just think that once people, business owners accept this, that they have to look at it, I think they'll come back and they'll say, you know what, this was really educational for me, and wow, I've learned so much. Now I know how to reinvent myself and do my numbers. And that might determine whether they need to get a loan or increase, you know, some capital from somewhere else, take on a partner, strategic partnership, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as Corey's talking about, you know, beating your competitors, not necessarily a bad thing, because sometimes they could be your supplier when you're not able to, you've gotten that big order. We always talk about this in government contracting. What happens if you get that big contract and you can't fulfill it? You don't want to not be able to fulfill it. You got to find that competitor to help with that.
I don't think we have competitors anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think it's the same business landscape where, you know, oh, you know, that's my competitor. I can't talk to them. Because at this point, I think we're all, whether they're bigger than you are or not, I think we're all in the same boat right now. It's okay, where's the money coming in and what do I have to do to get some?
Well, see, I you know, and I would take your thought, Lisa, one step further and say that, you know, many people, you know, many business owners neglect to look at competition in the right perspective. Competition is just not me versus you. Quite frankly, every business is competing against the economy. They're competing against people's thoughts on the economy. Depending on the type of good or service that you sell, Six Flags is competing against this economy big time. Mm. They're not competing against, you know, another amusement park necessarily. They are in a lot of respects, but they're also competing against the fact that, okay, wait a minute, people feel like they don't have enough money to get to and from a place with the gas, you know, being so high. So you're competing against gas prices. So how do you mitigate all of these external environmental factors that make you more competitive? I mean, at the end of the day, it's not about you just competing. It's about you being competitive. Mm-hmm. And there is a difference there.
Well, you know, it's almost like playing blackjack, you know, the economy being the dealer, and we're all, you know, playing against the dealer, basically. We're not playing against each other at the table. Mm-hmm. We're playing against the dealer. And, and right now the economy is... They're shoving out the cards.
Yeah.
Well, and I would take another step further, and this really gets over to Corey's line of work pretty much. you know, when you start to look at your cash flow, and this, you know, one of the books everybody talks about, Robert Kiyosaki's book, and I won't endorse it necessarily, but, you know, one of the things that you have to do is manage your finances, manage your taxes. And I've actively managed on the tax side. In fact, it was a show, I think it was right after yours, Stacey and Roger, but I talk about, you know, if you're upset with gas prices and you know, it's too high, it's killing your ability to commute or whatever, change up, get a hybrid. You know, I went and purchased a Chevy Volt. I mean, I ridiculously reduced my outlay and fuel expense. You know, I manage my tax liabilities very actively, and that enables me to be more competitive, not only against people who do the same thing that I do, but, you know, people in other industries.
It kind of goes back to the work smarter, not harder situation.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I definitely think that Jason said something that's very important when it's looking at who that competitor is and not really that person.
Yeah.
But the elements.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when a person can actually focus on the elements, they will definitely become more competitive than probably their competitors themselves.
Right.
Because that's essentially who is the biggest competitor is those elements.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can have everything in place. And we talk about this, you know, doing events. You can have the marketing in place. You can have the entertainment in place. Excuse me. You can have the best location, the food, all this. And then all of a sudden, it rains.
Mm-hmm. That's right. You forgot about that part, yeah.
And nobody shows up.
Yeah.
That's right.
You know, but it's definitely making sure that looking at the elements that are going on around you, which I think is huge, which the average person is pointing a finger at, no, you know, this company has more resources than I do. They have more marketing than I do, blah, blah, blah. No, no, no. There's still a way for you to be competitive if you didn't look at these elements. So thank you for that.
So, Jason, tell us about your company website, how to contact you, phone numbers.
Well, you can reach me for business plans at www.bassbusinessplans.com. Or if you want to watch the show and see a lot of the resources that we have there, that's at www.bizblogcast.com. That's bizblogcast.com. And we just released our first episode for the month of October, which is in franchising.
Awesome. Great. Yeah. So those are our guests today. They did a great job today.
Yes, they did. There's some very profound advice and some very, very profound businesses. So, you know, we have taxes, we have business plans, and we also have lease effort as far as, you know, your networking for women. Because women, it is very important that, you know, the women's sector has a voice in this economy. It is actually it's critical. And so that being said, please, the events, the aforementioned event that Lisa has, the event that Corey spoke about, please attend them. I believe you will get a lot of great feedback, and who knows.
So, Lisa, why don't you give your information again about your event and how to contact the National Association for Female Executives.
Okay, it's the Women of Excellence Business Conference, Wednesday, October 10th, which is next week, Wednesday. It's running from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. They can go to the website. That's www.nafeatlanta.com. That's N-A-F-E Atlanta.com. And they can register on the site right there. We're doing a special promotion because we just did our second anniversary a couple of weeks ago. So we're doing buy one, get one half off.
Oh, awesome. Good. And Corey, you want to tell us?
Well, the Strictly Business event is October 15th from 5:30 to 9 p.m. Interested, you can go to www.strictlybusinessevent.net. The tickets are only $10, which includes quite a bit. If you are a business owner and you have a business service for another business, so you're B2B, we are definitely looking for business for that to kind of help the businesses that are going to actually be there. With that, you can. There's also a vendor site that you can go to. You can actually get it from that actual event site itself to look at that. We are looking for vendors to be at the event as well.
And then you want to let them know about your tax?
And with the tax, I mean, it's not tax season yet, but if any individuals are interested in getting some tax help, especially with it being October, with it being the fourth quarter, a lot of people are trying to do planning right now. We're definitely doing some planning right now just to make sure tax liabilities are as low as possible by January 1st. Definitely feel free to contact us at 678-921-2929 or visit us online, ffgga.com.
Great. And Jason?
And I would just finish. I would be remiss if I neglected to mention the DVD that I just released. Duh.
You should.
Yeah.
Right. Small Business Planning 1.0, the foundation for any business, has been released, and you can purchase it on BizBlogcast as well as, again, that's www.bizblogcast.com. And the cost for the DVD is only $79.99. And actually, anybody, any business owner purchasing this DVD, I believe, and Corey, you could correct me if I'm wrong here, that can be a tax-deductible purchase.
It is a tax deduction.
So that would further reduce your tax liabilities in the end while helping you at the same time. If you'd like to reach me directly, you could do so by calling me at 678-615-8509. And I will be glad to help anyone, startup or existing.
Great. Well, Roger and I would like to really appreciate you guys coming out for our radio show, the first one.
Yes, and thank you very much for coming on. And as always, we're sponsored by the DUnity Group and 8A The Easy Way, your fast track to government contracting. Like I alluded to earlier, some very profound information that was given out today, and I commend you all for taking that risk and starting your own businesses and doing what you do for your community, because sometimes that risk is one not taken. And with that, we thank you all for listening, and we'll see you next week.